This is a great song by a great band with a great drummer who passed away yesterday. May he rest in peace, Alan White. The band Yes.
Godspeed, Alan White.
What a great album.
It's not a bad song.
No, not a bad one. Every song on that album. 90125. The band Yes. 1983.
There's very few albums you can say all the way through. Yeah. All good songs.
Yeah. There's a... I have like the deluxe version. They have some unreleased. They did... like they got 15 songs or something ready. Mm-hmm. They picked, I don't know, however many it was.
Yeah, that's what I have pulled up on here. There's 15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have two or three songs that...
Yeah, it says the deluxe version. Yeah.
...make the album. Yep. So this is their... I think it was Atlantic Records. I think this was their... 90125 is the serial number or the catalog number. That's what it is. The catalog number of the album.
That's I thought it was the area code.
Yeah. the zip code.
Or yeah, zip code. That's what the zip code. I thought.
No, it was their. I think that's what it was. Their catalog number of the album for Atlantic. I believe it was Atlantic.
I've got a great idea to what the title of our album.
Yeah. I'm out of ideas there, Trevor. So so we're remembering Alan White. We heard. Today, Shane told me today that he passed away yesterday.
Sad news.
And since I am not on Facebook, did you hear on Facebook?
Yeah, I did. Social media. Yeah.
Social media.
Yeah.
So
it's Facebook.
So I was buddies with Alan. Did you ever meet him?
No, I wish I could have. That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Uh-oh. You're going back into the archives of your past.
I was like, you know, we often when you and Brian and I would ride around in your Volkswagen Rabbit or your Celica Corolla Celica.
It was a Corona? Celica. Yeah, no, it was just the Celica. Yeah.
My brother Jeff had
The Celica Supra.
Yeah.
Which was
even better.
It was like 3 or 4 years old.
It was yellow and we called it the Killer Bee.
It was a
70 something.
Yeah, but it had the dash.
Yeah.
Was like just kind of like a control panel.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
The Killer Bee.
Yeah.
So anyway, do you remember when I called you and I was like, hey, guess who I just met?
Yeah.
Guess who I'm working for? It was like, man, I can't wait to tell those guys. Well, anyway, we would drive around in your car. Well, you would drive around in your car and we would ride and listen to this album over and over. Mm-hmm. Just... never got tired of it. Mm-hmm. And it is my, I mean, if you were going to send me to prison and I could only
what's
have,
the charges?
I don't know. I could only have one album.
This one?
It would be this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I know there's a couple others in your top five that are
really
top, close.
Yeah. Yeah. Haydn, No, Brahms, not Haydn. Brahms. Requiem.
Eagles Long Run.
Peter Gabriel.
So?
Is it So or is it Us? I can never remember which
it's
one.
So.
So.
Yeah. S-O.
He messed me up when he kept
not S-E-W,
the name
S-E-W, but...
two letters.
Yeah.
S-O. Yeah. Love that one. Very, very easy to listen to over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And then Springsteen, Born to Run.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my top fives. So anyway, Alan was a great drummer, and I worked for him. My wife and I worked for him and his wife, Gigi, for, 2 or 3 years, 3 or 4 years, I don't know, something like that, in the late 80s, 89 to 93 or something,
mm-hmm.
somewhere in there. And it was so cool to we cleaned his house and babysat the kids, Cassie and Jesse. Funny, it's funny. I should try to get a hold of them. Yeah, I haven't seen. So last time I saw Alan, it was at the Civic Theater. It was probably early 2000s, mm-hmm. late 2000s, maybe. Yeah, maybe 2005 or 6 or something like that. I played the Civic and went backstage and hung out and talked. And I took mm-hmm. Gary Neffinger and mm-hmm. and Paul Janis. But anyway, that's the last time I saw him. I think Tanya has talked with Gigi since then once or twice. But anyway, so we had, because we were babysitting his kids two or three times a week, cleaning their house two or three times a week. Mm-hmm. We were buds with the kids, and the kids were young. I mean, like 6 and 4 or something mm-hmm. like that. So Jesse, it was Jesse's birthday, and they rented a roller rink in, I don't know, where they lived in West Hills, Los Angeles. And it was like Canoga Park. I mean, it was in the valley, mm-hmm. you know. So think of the Tom Petty song, mm-hmm. you know, all the vampires, you know, Reseda, you know, all that in the valley. That was where they lived, so in that area. But so we're at this. So Jesse's like, well, I want the band and Mark and Tanya. And so that was our party. It was, yes, and I don't recall Tony K, that's the keyboard player, yes. In that version of yeah. Yes. So
yeah. We're trying to remember.
It was Tony something, yeah. But I couldn't remember his last name. But I think at that point, I think Rick Wakeman was there, but they were doing different things. Mm-hmm. They were kind of all doing different things. But at that point, Trevor was getting into movie music. He was doing soundtrack or sound, mm-hmm. whatever you call it, soundtracks for
yeah.
movies.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so it was surreal, dude. For me, it was surreal because we're in this rinky dink roller skate rink.
A rinky dink rink.
Yeah. And all kind of slung together. And it's, you know, Trevor, Raven, Tony K, I think. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure Rick Wakeman was there. I know John Anderson was there. I know, Chris Squire, who's dead as well,
mm-hmm.
Was there. And of course, Trevor Allen, and their wives, or yeah, I guess they're all married. I don't know, but
that was a long time ago.
So the
actual details are probably a little fuzzy.
Yeah, right? But I had at that time Trevor was playing. He had this guitar. Do you remember that green guitar, dark green guitar that I had? It was a Westone. It was a Japanese kind of Strat. Takeoff, mm-hmm. I guess. Graphite neck and
mm-hmm.
Anyway, he played those and I had one.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anybody else who had one. Tim Witt. I bought it from Tim Witt.
Yeah.
Remember our band?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had this band together and
a high school garage band.
High school garage band. Yeah. Cruciati.
There you go.
So Tim Witt was our bass player and he had this guitar and I bought it from him. Anyway, it's the same guitar Trevor Rabin played. Or often played.
Mm-hmm.
I had it in the car and we're at this roller rink and there's literally like 11 of us. There's me and Tanya and people in Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And they're kids. I don't think there were a few kids there. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was so bashful. I was bad off bashful. I don't know why.
You were young.
I guess I was 11. No, I was 20.
You weren't that. You were married at yeah. 11. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like, you should go get it and have him sign your guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know. I never did it. And I kick myself.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah. But, like, will you sign my guitar?
Right.
You know, so.
It's kind of like.
Anyway. But we were, and I just remember this, we were skating around, and Jesse, I think he was 6 or 7, like, was really going for it, and he lost control, and he just completely wiped out, and he hit the wall, and he got a concussion, like, he was like,
wow,
you know, stars, he was all loopy, and that was the end of the party. Because they hauled him off somewhere. I think they hauled him off to the doctor.
Ah.
And that was the end of the party.
Bummer.
So,
That's funny, though.
Yeah. Alan is the reason that, one of the reasons that I never pursued professional music, or kind of maybe stopped.
Made a pivot? Yes. Is that when you pivot?
Yep. Yep. Because they, you know, were, you know, they were at the pinnacle, if arguably, at the place where people want to be. You know, I'd be in their house and there's platinum records on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, multiples mm-hmm. of, you know, 90125 was like many times platinum. I don't know.
But it's way far into their catalog, though.
Yeah, they had a bunch of other stuff, and they were touring like crazy. They, right. you know, Big Generator came out after that, and it didn't do well commercially. They spent way too much money producing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it works, I don't know if it still works this way, but the way the record
probably not. Worked,
probably not.
Yeah, it's all changed now.
So the record industry, record company would sign you to so many albums,
mm-hmm.
And they're all kind of shenanigans that go on. Mm-hmm. around all that, but they would front you some money on the album
mm-hmm.
based on what they thought it was going to do or what you thought it was going to do.
I think book publishing is similar.
Yeah.
On big titles.
Yeah.
They don't do much of that anymore
yeah.
either.
So, yeah. So they fronted them a bunch of money to do Big Generator because mm-hmm. 90125 was just a smash hit.
Mm-hmm.
And they took... a long time, if I remember right, they took a long time and spent a ton of money recording Big Generator. I think he told me, if I remember right, that they rented a castle for a year. That's my recollection, anyway. I'm like, well, that sounds expensive. Like, well, yeah, we. And he was telling relayed this to me.
My eye just twitched, literally. Yeah.
I'm like, where do you rent castles at? You know,
I don't know, but I want one.
Not in L.A., not in Ohio. Oh, but it's
probably back on the island.
Yeah, yeah, across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
So they carted in all this gear,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was Trevor Horn. I think was their producer, if I remember right. Anyway, they spent all this time and money, and they didn't. And so that money, they front them that. And that comes off of future royalties.
Okay, so they had to work.
They had to work to pay back.
And tour and tour.
That's
and
right.
Basically not making yeah. any money.
And so when I had met them, they had toured a ton to stay solvent.
Right.
And financially solvent. And they were tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, they'd been on the road for like 5 years.
Mm.
You know, Asia, South America, all over Europe, and then they would do it again. And so they were just, you know, I'm like, here are these folks that are at the top of their game,
mm-hmm.
and they were worried about
mm-hmm.
what came next. And it's unknown. Like with the entertainment industry, you're only as good as like your next gig,
mm-hmm.
you know, and. Mm-hmm. It's pretty rare to be able to ride or kind of rest on the laurels of your previous work unless you're really smart with your investments and mm-hmm. so forth. And, hey, it's rock and roll,
right.
you know. And so, folks, I don't know that it was terribly common for folks to have a really sound financial strategy. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. Anyway, so I just saw some of the ins and outs, if you will, of how the music industry impacts a family and impacts folks' lives and marriages and mm-hmm. houses. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Right.
You know, right. And I don't know if I was good enough to do it, but plus he had a just crazy work ethic that got him from wherever he grew up in England to be in a mainstay
mm-hmm.
in, first of all, with John Lennon. And then he went from John Lennon to Yes, I think.
Yeah, we were just looking at
wasn't there a band in between there?
The Plastic Ono Band.
Yeah, right.
Which, yeah.
Yeah. I hope the pay was good there, buddy, because the name stunk. But after that, it was John Lennon. And then who was it? Joe Cocker,
you said? Joe Cocker. He worked with several other people. Yeah,
yeah.
In between.
Yeah.
When I looked that up.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. But he's a great drummer. It was really fun to walk in their house. And at that point, he was working on, they were working on writing Union, the mm-hmm. Union album. And that album was kind of a collaboration of a bunch of them. And he would be like, hey, here's what we worked on last weekend. Mm-hmm. Listen to it. Tell me what you think. I'm like, all right.
I mean, are you going to be honest? Or are you just
going to... Yeah, well, I was, in some ways, I still was kind of like...
A little intimidating.
It was intimidating. And I'm not, I wasn't about to be like, a little too much low end on the...
What are you going to say?
You know, I'm like, don't really like how you modulate here. I didn't know what to say.
Right.
I don't even remember. I don't recall any of my reactions, but except that I'm like, can you believe I'm sitting here with Alan White in his living room listening to this demo of the stuff they're writing for the next album? Like, man, is that cool? So, anyway.
I haven't listened to that album in years.
Yeah.
Union.
I was just looking.
I don't recognize any of these songs.
Yeah. There's a couple of songs that, when I listen to it, there's a couple songs I like. And that, you know, for me, Yes is an acquired taste. And I don't actually like many of their other albums.
Mm-hmm.
I love 90125.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of Big Generator.
It's a fun album.
It is.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff to me is, to me anyway, is hit or miss. Mm-hmm. And it's an acquired taste. Now, they're a hoot to see live.
They're really good.
You know?
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of like Dave Matthews Band in the sense that I don't like listening to the Dave Matthews Band on the radio or whatever, but man, if you watch a video or see them live,
they're performers.
Their performance.
Yeah.
They're so tight and they're so good. And Yes was like that for me as well. Just, really, really interesting to just listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know, saw them 4 or 5 times, I guess, during that time. And after, but anyway, so we lost Alan White yesterday, and we're bummed. But he was young, 72.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Squire died a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say 5 or 6 years ago. I don't
remember when it was.
Yeah, bass player. He had a... he played a Rickenbacker bass. That was one of his kind of signature sound. He was really tall. Trevor Rabin is really tall. At least to me, I'm like 5 whatever.
Right.
5 and a half, you know. Not half feet, half inches. 5 feet, a half inch. No, I'm 5'6". But... But I think Trevor's like 6-something. So, anyway. Well, so we were talking about this trip I just came back from. I've been on a anniversary retreat with the missus and Mrs. W.
W.
We went to Michigan. We're celebrating 33, and what are you celebrating?
29 on the 29th. So congratulations.
Chivalry.
Yeah.
Is that what you say? Something like that?
Nostrovia.
Nostrovia.
Or as the Brits say, cheers.
Cheers, right. There you go. Cheers. Tally-ho. So went on this trip, and as a coach, let me back up. as a coach, it's been really hard for me to directly receive input from somebody else directly, which is like, Mark, you should do this, or let me help you with that. Like, I kind of have a hard time with that.
Because you're very independent.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean,
getting things done kind of.
I am. Yeah. And I work well that way, but it can be a problem too. So anyway, we decided to go see a counselor to just clean up the edges, you know, so clean out the corners, so to speak. I'm like, all right, I'll go do that. I'll take some of my own medicine, you know, and you know, who knows what we'll figure out. It would probably be good. Good for you. Take your vitamins. You know what I'm saying?
Broccoli.
Eat your broccoli. So, anyway, so we were there the other day. And I said, listen, buddy. you need to know, like, we talk a lot. Like, we work on stuff all the time. He's like, you do? Like, no, really. No, I'm not. You're not blowing sunshine here.
And I can attest to that.
So he's like, well, like, give me an example. I'm like, listen, when we are at home, we're not staring at our phones. We're talking for 2 hours minimum. He's like, no, you don't. Yeah, we do. Like, that's our normal deal. And Saturday morning, 2 or 3 hours. Sunday morning, 2 or 3 hours talking. I mean, we're very, very proactive communicatively. You know, so we're not just like mailing it in on the couch while we're cheeseballing through some video series or something. Now, we watch stuff.
That sounds like my life, actually.
Mailing it in, cheeseballing through a...
Oh, I can't do cheese balls anymore. Well, I'll probably eat popcorn.
Just munching away on...
Watch a British murder mystery or something. Yeah. But
well, there's nothing wrong with watching stuff or whatever, but I just wanted to like lay it out like, dude, we're not here because our lives are on fire. Like, I just wanted to kind of give them some context, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And one of the things with business coaching that's a little tough is trying to a lot of times the client wants to they want to like fill me in on a bunch of stuff, and that's what I wanted to do with this guy. Mm-hmm. Now he's not watching, so
yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
I'm not really sure this guy's got what it takes.
Just be aware of the hip. Is it HIPAA?
HIPAA. There we go. Dude, the other day, this is funny. So we were, my wife's a nurse and my oldest son's a nurse and there's all the nurse talk, you know, patient talk going on. And one year, this is a few years ago, they were talking about some poor patient that was all tore up and needed tons of help. And they were kind of, I think they both had this patient because they both worked at the same hospital. And there's some, for a while, my wife's in oncology and psych and some other stuff. And my son was in, I don't know, the really bad one, intensive care.
I was going to say ICU.
ICU. Yeah. That's what I was looking for. And so they had their couple times, the number of times they would have this patient roll mm-hmm. through their different, mm-hmm. you know, departments. And so this particular night, my son was over and family and we were hanging out and we're getting ready to eat. And, you know, we hold hands and say a prayer mm-hmm. before we eat generally. And, they had been talking about this patient and the patient part's not funny. I thought, I generally kind of lead the thing. Mm-hmm. Being the boss.
The boss man.
Got the man pants on or whatever. So.
Wait a second. Gid calls me boss man.
My son Gid calls Shane boss man.
So there you go.
Boss man. So we're holding hands and I start praying. I'm like, well, Lord, we're really heartbroken over this person at the hospital. I can't tell you who it is, though, because of HIPAA. And everybody just started laughing. I'm like, I mean, I get the HIPAA thing, but sometimes it's a little weird.
Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately, God knows who it is.
Yeah, right. Do you think God follows HIPAA?
No.
So.
Probably not. That's funny. What were we talking about? We got a little diverted there.
Communication at the house. I'm talking about this counselor. Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, dude, we talk a lot. Okay. Yeah. So just put that in your file there.
And smoke.
And we talk a lot. Yeah, put your pipe and smoke it. So he didn't believe me. I mean, I could tell. So
that's a little disconcerting.
Presumptuous? I don't know what it is.
That's
It's something. Well, but you know, and I'm thinking, okay, so he sees people hour in and hour. We talked to him for an hour. I'm like, what the heck can you figure out in an hour? You know, I can't. Tanya and I are just getting warmed up talking in an hour.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Down to the bottom of our first cup of coffee. No, she doesn't drink coffee. That would take our relationship up a notch.
Does she drink coffee?
Yep. There's not a lot that a good cup of coffee doesn't help.
Good coffee.
Good coffee. That's right. Bad coffee.
None of this Folgers instant.
Oof. Yeah. No, I will do Starbucks instant. Via. Those things are good.
A little different.
They're very good.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, so I'm like, we talk a lot. And he's like, really? And I could tell, and this is a business coach thing, and I don't know if this is just me, but when I'm interacting with folks, clients, I can tell what they're doing, mm-hmm. thinking, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what to call that.
Positioning.
Yeah?
Yeah. What? They're like positioning themselves as something.
A posturing?
Posturing, that's it.
Yeah.
Posturing. Yeah.
Well, so like I look at them and I can tell if they're posturing or if they're honest, sort of, usually, or better than most.
This is where I get in trouble because I tend to believe what people say until otherwise proven.
Yeah.
And it gets me in
loads
of trouble all the time because then I'm like,
I
trusted what you said.
Yeah.
I thought you were being truthful. I just assume that. And
I do the same thing generally, but in coaching,
it's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's and I feel like the permission to go, I don't believe you.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you kind of, like you say, you poke at them.
Give them a little poke. And they're like, oh, thanks, coach. Mm-hmm. You know, so. Anyway, so I'm looking at him. I could tell that I'm putting on my coach hat.
Right.
You know, I'm like, this dude's sitting there thinking I'm full of bull.
Right.
You know, like, well, I would probably think the same thing. Right. Although I would think that maybe I'd be able to sense that I wasn't, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, so dude, we just went on this 10-day trip, and that's what I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 10-day trip, and we talked the whole time, and we did watch a few movies, watched a few really good ones. By the way, watched The Accountant again. I love that. I probably watched it 5 or 6 times.
Was it about spreadsheets or?
No. It's Ben, what's his name?
We've talked about this before.
Shoot, what's his name? Casey, Affleck, Ben Affleck.
Did he use the abacus?
No, but he did use a whiteboard, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
And he was blowing through whiteboard markers. I'm like, yeah, that's me.
What are those little rulers called? Slide rule?
Yes, slide rule.
Slide rule.
And Apollo 13, they use them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, so we're on this trip, and we realized something my wife said to me. She's like, we need to get on the same page about blah, blah, blah. About a particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this epiphany.
And the bells were like...
The bells are ringing. Ding, ding, ding. I'm like, do you hear those bells, Tanya?
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, no.
They're in your head.
Your lips are moving.
We've got more issues than we thought.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, there's this... Like, what... Like, we all... There are different pages. There are different subjects that folks... could be on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, wait a second. Like, if I were to write out my page of blah, 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 let's just say God. We had a 2-day discussion about what do you think about God and back and forth. And we've been married a long time. And, you know, and that's been a challenge is just different opinions or observations or beliefs or whatever. And just... We're in the same bucket, I guess, but very different.
You grew up in different,
very different,
environments with church. So
Yep. So and that was one of our pages, church, which is different than
it is. God. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm like, hey, Tanya, before we try to get on the same page, we ought to do an inventory of what is on each other's current page regarding whatever subject. Before we compare notes, we don't have any notes to compare. We just have these impulses and hurts and ideas and opinions and, you know, posturing and grandstanding and defending and promoting and challenging. And I'm like, well, how about if we just write out, here's what I think, and you write out, here's what you think. And we can just compare notes. But first, let's figure out what are all of the pages, or what are some major pages in one's life, you know, that you could have an opinion about or have a belief about. So we came up with like 40 over a day. That was our first part of the project. And it was really cool. I got here. There, we just took and literally wrote out the, hey, what page could we be on? We're talking, oh, what about communication? Yeah, communication's a page. Mm-hmm. How do you communicate? How do I communicate? And we didn't try to identify how to do any of those things. We just identified, oh, that's a page. And, you know, raising kids, that's a page. Sex, that's a page. Money, that's a page. Investing. Mm-hmm. That was a big one.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
yeah.
What do you think we should do with money that we don't use?
There's a lot of different opinions.
Yeah. And why? And what is it for? And right? And we got to get on the same page. But first, we just assemble what you think about it. Mm-hmm. And I'll assemble what I think about it. So anyway, we came up, the first step was just, here's a bunch of pages. Mm-hmm. Great. No conversations about what's on your page, what's on my page, get on the same page. Second phase, then, is we went, once we did that, that was the first couple of days. You might be like, man, that sounds like a fun anniversary. Like, man, that was actually really fun. Gave us some.
Like, my version would be floating on an inner tube on a lazy river.
So, yeah, well, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Something like that would be really good. Yeah. We've done, in the past couple times, we've gone to somewhere tropical. Love going to Cozumel.
Yeah.
Been there a few times, and just sitting on the beach or, you know, whatever, sitting by the pool. But I don't know. I just didn't want to jet around to another country right now. I'm just kind of like, can we be domestic, you know?
Plus, jetting around is not exactly cheap right now.
Yeah. So first couple of days we did that. And then the next step was we just said, out of these, which one, and I'm, you know, looking at this thing. Which one do you think is a bottleneck or a major, like, game changer? If we could get on the same page with that, it would help everything else. Mm-hmm. And so we asterisked, we went down through, and it was how do you, like, the problem-solving page. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, how do you solve problems? Mm-hmm. Here's how I solve problems. So with the problem-solving page, one of them was a decision-making page. What was the other one? Getting things done.
Right.
Page.
Right.
So, you know, how do you get things done? Here's how I get things done. And so then, once you identify.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Then when you were talking about that earlier. Yeah.
Yes. So now that you've asterisked two or three, you just pick one. Mm-hmm. All right. So we had communication, raising kids, money, God, sex, entertainment, hobbies. Mm-hmm. You know, spare time. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, hey, what do you like doing in your spare time?
I know you two have very different things that you like to do in your spare time.
Oh, dude.
I know that.
So I had on here alcohol and cigars, because she and I see that very differently.
Very different. Yeah, yes, for sure.
Yes. So Mark Morelli, shout out to Mark Morelli, Full Spectrum Marketing. You guys are awesome. Josh Gordon, Andrew Husted, et cetera, whole leadership team. Bam, great. Love you guys. Great client of ours.
Great meeting yesterday.
Yeah. So Mark Morelli, I was explaining this to them. That's mm-hmm. Or Mark was asking me about it after our session. And I showed him the page, our list of pages. Mm-hmm. And he's going, hey, that's wild. Look, you got God and church and cigars. Like, what is that? Like, yeah, and there's alcohol, and there's sex over here, and there's spare time, and, like, there's a lot of different pages, right? Yeah, and all of a sudden, you're like, man, no wonder we butt heads sometimes.
Right.
You know, Tanya'd be like, no, butt head. I'm like, no, butt heads. And she's like, no, you're a butt head. So anyway, so we picked, you know, how do you get things done? It's, I think that was the first one. And so now,
I found that when you were talking about it a little bit ago, yeah. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
So you should describe that a little bit.
Okay. So, all right. So, hey, look at this.
Do you still have it from? Oh, there you go. Great.
So you take a blank sheet, and this is literally how I did it. I take a sheet of paper, and we would be riding bikes and walking and
listening to the clippy clop, clippy clop.
Clippity clop at Mackinac.
Or Mackinac.
Mackinac, Mackinac. So I'd have the sheet of paper folded in my pocket. I felt like such a nerd. Because it had like a little shirt pocket.
I'm going to get you a pocket protector for your Christmas present.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I'd take this sheet of paper, I'd rip it out and fold it on. And because I'm like, well, we're going to get talking about this thing.
Yeah, then you got to take notes.
And I won't have any, because we're riding bikes, you know?
Yeah.
So this particular one, we pulled off, it was this beautiful, I need a burp button.
I have one over here.
You have one. So
by the time I get to it, it's too late.
It's too late. Yeah. So we were at this little beach area on the north side of Mackinac Island and watching the sun go down. We spent 3 hours sitting there. And I had my little jet boil. And
your what?
Jet boil, little camping pot.
Okay.
Gas fired camp pot thing. And made myself a little cup of coffee. Nice cup of coffee, and Tanya had her, I don't know, Trim Healthy Mama fizzy drink thing, and and so we literally wrote it out like this. So in the middle of this box, you just put the page that you're talking about.
So for example, the one
how do you solve problems, or how do you get things done?
How do you get things
done?
That's
what it was. Yep. Getting things done. We just wrote that right there, things done, and put a box around it. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then you kind of divide the paper in half. Like that. I put, you know, her name at the top, mine at the bottom, whatever. You just one person up here, one person down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, how do you get things done? And this isn't a debate. It's not an inquisition.
It's an inventory.
It's just a list of stuff. You know, and do you just feel your way through it? Like just when, hey, we got to do XYZ, what's your go-to? Like how do you, and it takes a lot of work to, I would say, elaborate or enunciate, unearth.
Put into words what you're
feeling. Yeah, and there's a lot in there, and it's hard to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we don't go around going, now, here's how I get things done. You know, it's just not, we're not thinking like that, generally.
I don't know anybody that does that.
Yeah, so one of the things we put on here was StrengthsFinder, and I had to facilitate this a bunch, and this is my sweet spot, but... Yeah. I had my list of StrengthsFinder strengths and hers, and I had to look hers up, you know, but I had...
But you have all that.
Yeah, I had it all handy-dandy. Mm-hmm. My iPad with the cell phone connection, that worked out great.
I'm glad that was working.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And also, we put our Enneagram number on here, so, you know, we're both 8.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, that's your problem. Yeah.
But your wings are different.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I have Sure and Natural wings. She has. I don't know. That's like a.
Is that like hair shampoo or something?
No.
Deodorant?
I was thinking it was like some sort of feminine product.
Oh my gosh.
You know, with wings or something, whatever. I don't know. So.
I'm going to cut that out.
So 8. I'm an 8-9, and she's an 8-7.
Yeah.
And then we put that on there. I was like, so that's how I get things done. That's how she gets things done. And then, you know, we just talked. And there's no agenda. There's no, like, I'm not going, no, that's not how you do it. And she's not going, no, that's not how you do it. We're just trying to, like, let each other populate their page.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then, and that's it. And they stop at that point. We're not trying to fix anything at that point. We're just trying to go, how do you get things done? Here's how I get things done. Mm-hmm. Whether that's good, bad, or otherwise, who cares at this point? Then the next stage, and we haven't done this yet, this next stage. All right. We've taken four subjects and just
populated.
Yeah. So we did getting things done, making decisions, God, mm-hmm. and we've done some money stuff on one of them. So that's it. But not like, okay, let's put our heads together now and figure out how to co-labor and get on the same page productively. Like, that's the next step.
Could you take the Enneagram information and the StrengthsFinder information and kind of, you're going to use that as you kind of walk through all this stuff a little bit?
Yeah, well, so decision-making, I think, how do you make decisions? And so, you know, we both are, I would say, sensory. We're both emotive. Mm-hmm. Neither of us are analytical as a strength. Not that we can't analyze something, but it's not our sweet spot. And so we looked through our strengths and said, well, you know, when I make a decision, for me, being, you know, the strengths that I have from the StrengthsFinder, I think about things a lot, mm-hmm. you know, and I also am always thinking macro. Mm-hmm. And all the detail stuff serves the big stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of folks, they don't see the big stuff, and they're all about, like, the day and the next day or today or this week or this season, but mm-hmm. they don't really have much view of the big stuff, like the macro view, macro vision, macro destination, macro. And I live there. And so I have a hard time being micro, or being day in and day out minutiae, just unless I see how it serves the big stuff.
Right.
And then I can do it all the time.
Right. And I've seen that. I've seen you work that way.
Yeah. And if I don't know how this fits the big thing, I won't do it.
And you, when you are in the micro, you can't stay there for long.
No.
You're like there and then you bail.
What, like 45 minutes?
I don't know. I haven't timed it yet, but no, it's
just, not a day though.
No.
I mean, it's like an afternoon.
It's like maybe. You're making a checklist and they're like, okay, I'm out.
Yep. Yep. I dove down in there, made a checklist, and I'm done.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. So, someone else take care of this.
Yep. Here, Shane.
I know. That's like, all right, Shane. You're like, here you go.
You better
Shane.
Call somebody. So, so that was also, you know, if it fits certain goals. Mm-hmm. You know, so on the big side, like, all right, here's
the. You're seeing the big
that's right.
part of it.
That's
so right. You know that.
Yep.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And for Tanya. She has some of that, but it's much more around people. Mm-hmm. It's much more around relationships. Mm-hmm. So she'll be like, how does this impact this person that I love or how I feel about this person mm-hmm. or the state of our relationship mm-hmm. that is a decision that's a game changer for her. She'll make mm-hmm. decisions based on that. Mm-hmm. And I won't make decisions based on that so much. I'll make decisions based on destination or mm-hmm. based on strategy. Does mm-hmm. this fit? And not like super, you know, calculator kind of strategy, but mm-hmm. big stuff, mm-hmm. you know, multiplication and division, not like trig and stuff like that. I never took trig. I never took any of that stuff. I did take physics. I love physics.
Physics was actually really fun. I took it twice in high school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Like the same one?
Ninth and 12th.
Okay.
So, like, ninth was like kind of like intro.
Okay.
12th was real stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah,
physics is fun. Yeah.
It seemed like, I'm like, oh, you can figure out how much this thing's doing? Like, mm-hmm. that was really cool. Yeah. It was practical to me. Mm-hmm. Do you have input as one of your strengths?
I don't remember.
In StrengthsFinder? Because
I don't have mine memorized like you do.
Okay.
Every time we talk about it, I literally have to go and pull it. I might do that while you're talking.
Yeah.
I'm going to look them up. Learner is number four. That's what I remember. I don't think.
I think input you had relator.
Relator is one.
We share that one.
Yeah.
Well, StrengthsFinder, listeners, is an easy button. Mm-hmm. Super valuable. Super cheap. I mean, $50. Pay the $50. Do the $50.
Yeah, for sure.
And a little background on StrengthsFinder. is Clifton, Dr. Clifton, who's been long dead, was, I believe, I guess you'd call him, I don't know if you'd call him a sociologist. He was a some sort of people scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And he would he was trying to devise an assessment that he could give to find out what's down inside of people. And the Gallup StrengthsFinder is kind of the mother of all assessments.
Mm-hmm.
All these other assessments kind of find their DNA origins in Gallup and in the Gallup data and the Gallup StrengthsFinder kind of stuff. Connectedness, relator, restorative, responsibility, learner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, developer. You and Tanya both have developer.
I don't know what that means. I don't remember what developer is.
Well, we looked, when we came across that, I'm like, I don't know.
What or a ranger.
Means. Yeah.
Individualization. That's a hard word to say.
So developer, and this is something that Tanya really, this really jumped out. I'm like, my gosh. So she has restorative mm-hmm. as well. That's her number one. Developer's number four or five.
Mm-hmm.
Developer is like, if you're strong in developer, it means that you see the best. You take somebody and you're like, man, let's try to like get the best parts of them out,
mm-hmm.
and keep trying this until because there's more in there and there's more in there and there's more in there, and that goes with restorative,
mm-hmm.
and all these things it's have kind of like. A good side and a bad side.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying? All right. A healthy and an unhealthy. Or you could
say... Well, it's like an Enneagram, too.
Yes.
Yeah, well, for sure. Right.
And that's kind of the point of the StrengthsFinder, figure out what you're good at and do it a bunch, but do it for some good reasons. So, anyway, developer is an interesting one.
But all of my top 10, except for one, is relationships and executing.
Yeah. Wow. I don't
and
have
executing till 11. And then 11. I have one strategic.
Yeah.
In the top 10. I have others right after
learner,
that.
Learner, is it?
Yeah. I have, like, in the next five, I have some more strategic. But it's, so it's in there. But.
Yeah. Well, so yes, StrengthsFinder is amazing. Take the $50 test. They have a $20 version. It's the same test. But for $50, they show you all 34. So
yeah,
Clifton,
you get more information back. It's really interesting.
He wanted to... He figured out over decades of study, and then he ended up buying Gallup for the purpose of this test. So Gallup's kind of main purpose for collecting information on people is to keep their test really robust.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take that information, sell it to governments and businesses and so forth as well. So they do other things as well, but at least that's how I understand it. So... the test is very powerful, and for $50, well, Clifton figured out inside of a human being there are these 34 talents, like developer or strategic or connectedness or other things. They're not things like music or science or, you know.
Focus, communication, strategic, activator, maximizer. Yeah.
Yeah, so... When you pay the $50 test, it shows you the intensity, the order of intensity of those strengths.
The thing I like about it is it looks kind of like a DNA.
Mm. Oh, yeah, they color it up.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see that up there. Yeah. But maybe I'll fly in a little screenshot of mine or yours.
There you go.
It's just kind of not, I don't care who sees this, but
no, it'd be fine.
I think it looks, because the color codedness of it kind of
helps tell the story.
It does. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we'll finish with StrengthsFinder. So go out and take the StrengthsFinder, pay the $50. When you pay the $20, they just show you your top five strengths. When you pay the $50, they show you all 34.
And which is important because it's not like you only use your top five or 10.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, this is you.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of this is you. You know.
Well, and one of the big epiphanies, and this was really helpful for our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
when, just as we started working through these, I'm like, oh my gosh. And that's kind of like how you get things done. Well, mm-hmm. you use your strengths.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, sometimes when I explain this to folks, I'll say, well, are you right-handed? Like, yeah. All right. So if you're going to smack me, you know, you're going to, or flip me off, right? You're going to do it right-handed. And if you're going to, like, draw some amazing picture, you're going to do it right-handed. Like, you just, that you're going to use your strengths. Now, let's say we say this job here requires you to do that left-handed. You're like, man, I can't make it work, coach. You know, so that's really, it's really a cheap epiphany to go, oh, I'm doing some things that require something that I'm not very good at. Or that I'm not naturally talented at. And one of the, and a great example of this is the movie or the story of Rudy Rudiger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. The movie Rudy. Yeah. Rudy. And there's some, so the, there's a beautiful story, right, where Rudy's like all heart and all in. And Powell Chiropractic, that's one of their core values, is Rudy.
Right.
Which is lots of heart and all in. And come on, guys, we can get this done. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You know, pep and zeal and zest, you know. That's the point of the movie, right?
Man,
you know, this guy was awesome. Although he was a lousy football player. And in the StrengthsFinder deals, like, hey, love the heart, bro, but aim that at something you're good at. Like, you know, he was real short and stocky and stumpy and really had no business trying to play collegiate football for Notre Dame, although it was a big goal of his and heart and so forth.
That scene when they're yelling at him.
Yeah.
And he's pushing it.
Super sweet.
That is such a good scene. Holy cow.
Yeah. But now, if you take all that same zeal and zest and energy and enthusiasm and take it and aim it at what you're naturally talented at.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
It's like,
and that's the whole point. That's the whole point of it, is figure it out. Right. So you quit wasting a bunch of your energy trying to be good at something that you just know darn good at, you know, and never will be. You'll always be marginal.
You're using 80% of your energy.
That's right.
To something you're only maybe 20% good at.
Yep.
Talented at.
Yeah. So, big plug for Gallup StrengthsFinder. Maybe sometime we'll have Jeremy Petrosini on here and talk about.
I was saying that would be great. He's really good with the stuff.
Yeah,
that's his thing. So,
we were going through this exercise, the same page exercise, and again we're early in it, but I think I'm going to do. I told you this when I got back. I think I'm going to do a workshop.
Yeah,
where we have like a couples workshop, and do a weekend and kind of early in the weekend make list of the pages and then pick a page and kind of identify each other. And then at the end of the workshop, try to get on the same page on that. And that's the third phase, you know, once you get the inventory done for one page. And then for us now, this is a really easy, proactive, like date night kind of weekender kind of thing, which is like, hey, what do you say we talk about our same page stuff, you know? And so,
hey, baby,
want to get on the same page with your sugar daddy?
Sorry.
Oh, pickup lines for, you know, for business coaches.
Right.
You want to get on the same page, baby? I'm reading your page.
oh my gosh.
That's funny. So that's what we've been talking about.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And you could adapt that for leadership teams for sure.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, supposed to be having same page meetings.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anybody really teaches you how to do that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the smack thing for you know, teaching people how to.
Well, you know, the idea of like, hey, let's get on the same page, you know. So let's say, leading people, and this is a real common one,
mm-hmm.
That real common issue, which is somebody. Let's just say it's a 20 employee business. Okay, $5 million or so revenue, something like that. And there's, let's just make up a name, Bob. You know, no, we're doing our Viking names. So
Sven
Svarensen. Is that good enough?
Sven Svensson. Oh, no. I got a good one.
Okay.
Per Persson.
What?
That's actually one of my wife's ancestors.
Per
Persson.
Per Persson. All right. So Per Persson owns this.
He's from Sweden.
He's a boat builder. All right. And he's got 20 people working for him, building boats, oars. Tarring the seams, right? Stuff like that.
Okay.
Painting carving the dragon. Mm-hmm. And at some point, he's like, I can't manage all and lead all these people. So I'm going to hire somebody who's going to lead sales, and I'm going to hire somebody else who's going to lead operations. I'm going to hire somebody else who's going to lead finance. You know, get work. Do work and get paid.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've heard that before.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The three big functions.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's his name?
Per.
Persson.
Like in a fruit.
Oh. Okay. Per Persson. So Per goes on and goes, hey, I'm going to hire you to be my head of sales. All right. So first mistake, he slaps a label or a title
mm-hmm.
on this seat.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what we really need is what do you own if you sit in the seat? So mm-hmm. it'd be better to say, Sven. So Per's hiring Sven.
All right.
Sven, what I need you to do is you own leading our sales team. So we have the sales team. Cool. You need to lead and manage them and hold them accountable to where we're going, to our goals, sales mm-hmm. goals, sales ideas. You know, here's how we sell it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you do that? Yeah. Done it a lot. Okay. Like, normally that's how it goes. Big miss right there. So as far as the same page deal, and this is something we do often with clients, is say, what do you mean by lead and manage and hold people accountable? You know, we talked with Brandon Kinney mm-hmm. a little bit yeah. on an episode about this. So, but this is an example. Like, okay, when you say lead, you know, this is like that scene in Princess Bride. Inconceivable.
Right?
It's like, I don't think
it means.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
That's right? What it is, yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that, right? But we have to kind of go, okay, what do you mean by... It's my job to lead people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by it's my job to manage people? And what do you mean by it's my job to hold people accountable?
Those are three pages.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could mash all that together.
You've been doing this
yeah.
in the LMA work.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So to just say, all right, well, here's what we mean by leadership. Here's what it looks like. Here's the results. Here's evidence. Here's some hallmarks. Here's, what you ought to be good at. You know, here's some things you talk about or say or act like.
I really liked what Mark Morelli brought up yesterday for leading.
Yeah.
What was that thing he said?
Wisdom? Was that the wisdom?
Mm-hmm. When you guys were compiling different things under lead. I've got it here. You can keep talking.
They ruined
the flow of everything now.
The flow is gone.
Okay, I've got the picture right here. The
flow is gone, baby.
Create space for discovery.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. That was really yeah. good.
So one of their definitions of this is what a leader does.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you say, hey, Sven, yeah, I need you to create space for discovery. For our salespeople. Oh, I think you got the wrong guy.
Yeah, right? That would be a real
yeah,
game changer. Like either you got that or you don't.
Yeah, it's a talent.
Right.
And that's sure. leadership. So then it starts to put color to, like, what do you mean by leadership? And then manage is very different. When every time we do this, we end up with a whole lot more manage descriptors than lead or hold accountable.
These guys, it was about the same. There's a little bit more manage on there, but
They did a they did a really
kind of crept into the other column.
Yes, right. Well, and we do three different colors again to kind of go keep the concept different. And I got to tell you, it's so interesting how people try to solve issues and get clarity by talking only. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we go, hey, blah blah blah, and these words fly through the air, and you're like, yeah, he just saw what I saw. Like, no, he just heard what you said.
Right.
That's who knows what's happening after that or before that. So, so we use a lot of colors and word diagrams. I don't know, diagrams, probably the wrong word. Pictographs, doodling, to get your point across.
Cave drawings.
Caveman drawings. Sure. Yeah. Well,
that would be from Egypt.
Oh, there's another one. Another glyph.
Pictoglyph?
Petroglyphs? No, there's some other glyph. Yeah. Sprechen de Deutsch? Sprechen de Latin? There's a glyph, like, of some sort that, you know, cave drawings. So, yeah, we do a lot of cave drawings to kind of go, is this what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. And then folks can go, I'm not agreeing to that. Oh, well, you did last week. So, yeah, but I didn't agree to that. Oh, well, so let's spell this out, and then let's put our heads together and say, who's in? And that's getting on the same page, you know? Right. And then, you know, saying, so if this is what we think of leadership, how good are you at that? Not leadership, but all the stuff we just used to describe leadership. Mm-hmm. And we read down through the things that we use to describe leadership. Say, scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? 6. Okay, cool. Scale of 1 to 10. Everybody else, where do y'all think he's at? Oh, he's neat. It was really fun sometimes, every time. Most of the time, I would say. Not every time. Most of the time, folks assess themselves
lower,
and their team assesses them higher.
It's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that sometimes as they and the team are assessing oneself, I'm kind of like, in my mind, I'm like, well, then, I mean, if you're like a 9 on that, how come on manage, you know, which is delivering on expectations, creating clarity about, you know, tactics for, you know, that are going to get us to our final goal. Somebody's good at managing, is good at training. They're good at touching, like, but not overburdening folks, and they're good at dispatching resources, et cetera. And in my mind, I'm like, well, so why are we so stuck here if we got some folks who are really good at managing, but people aren't being managed well? You know, so it's kind of like in a baseball team, like, yeah, we got this guy who's great at this thing. Yeah, but we're losing. You know, Moneyball's a really good example of that. I love that movie for that reason. Like, well, so, and there's this scene where, what's his name? Is it Brad Pitt, right? Pitt that plays the book is great, by the way. The book is a absolute must. The movie's a must. I read the book first.
I've never.
And then, or how did I do that?
I guess I didn't even know there was a book.
Oh,
I just thought it was
a movie. I watched the movie and then read the book.
New information to me.
And the book was really good.
Huh. All right.
I've done that a number of times with a number of books. Black Hawk Down, We Were Soldiers. There's a number of them. River Runs Through It, by the way, is a good book.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Brad Pitt's like, you know, because they're scouts, and the scouts are going, the ball jumps off the bat. You know, and they're talking about these guys are going to try to sign at the Oakland A's. He's so athletic, and they use these terms, and these are these old guys describing with these flowery terms these youngsters that are playing baseball at 18, 19, 20, and how they're thinking, yeah, we should sign this guy. And Brad Pitt's like, well, why don't they get on base? Yeah, it's not working. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, they sound great or look great, but
the results?
It's not like, what are the results? Like, we need the guy to go from first to second to third to home a bunch of times or more than the other guy. And then we went, like, that's all we really care about at the end of the day.
Right.
On base, you know, wins the game. You got to get on base to get home, basically. And it's a story about that. But
step one.
Yes. And so he uses stats to kind of in a different way. Anyway, so the point of this is like, hey, if you're so good at this stuff, how come we don't have any results?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the beginning of saying, well, how good are you at this? What do you think? And it gets it all on the table and it gets people talking about it. And then you can start to go, oh, maybe we're not on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should put our heads together. If you think it's this and I think it's that, let's put our heads together and actually decide what it is. Now that folks have that, many of my teams have that, now we can start to go, okay, so you said you were a 9 on leadership, but which is like casting vision and creating clarity and, hey, here's where we're going. But nobody in your department knows any of those things. So you're no good at it, you know? So let's take that 9 and flip it to a 6, or maybe it's a 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So anyway, that's same page type exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So doing it with the wife and doing it with some clients, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's good. Good stuff.
Yeah. So give us, I would love to hear cinema.
I have that right here, actually.
And we'll go out with cinema from Yes, 90125. There it is.
How's that?
Excellent.